This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Rushen and Noel. We're turning our attention to Myanmar, which has had to deal with spiraling violence ever since the military moved in last February, toppling the country's leader Aung San Suu Kyi and her National League for Democracy party. 5 months on, diplomatic efforts made by ASEAN appear to have come to naught.
Yeah, the ASEAN plan from the last Security Council meeting in April saw the Council's 15 members calling for an immediate end to the violence in Myanmar and also for an ASEAN envoy to handle the crisis. Neither of this happened. And the country has seen daily protests of the military takeover, and according to a local monitoring group, a mass uprising has been met with a brutal military crackdown that has killed something like 850 civilians right now. And meanwhile, Aung San Suu Kyi is facing trial for a string of charges, including accepting illegal payments. And if convicted, she faced more than a decade behind bars.
So for more on developments in Myanmar, we're speaking this morning with Oi San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Oi San, thank you so much for joining us today. So despite strong support from the international community, ASEAN still appears to be unable to reach any kind of agreement with Myanmar. How can it effectively try to change the point of view of the junta leader right now?
Well, I think the ASEAN, first of all, would have to, for example, reach a consensus among its various member states, right? Right now, I don't actually think, despite the five-point consensus, there's actually a consensus as to how to engage Myanmar. I think number one, of course, ASEAN will have to work even closer with the mainstream of the international community, who are democratically minded, who frowned upon the military regime, junta, in Myanmar. It should not be, I mean, ASEAN should not be ambiguous about its attitudes towards the junta. For example, it has been, in a sense, mollycoddling the junta, accepting the junta for various events and so on. And I think that at some point would have to stop. It would have to cast the junta as the pariah, as an international outcast, and not continue to sort of treat the junta as just an errant family member of ASEAN. I mean, that is to have a start.
Right. So, Oi San, it's no secret that ASEAN's effectiveness is questionable, to say the least, when it comes to foreign policy and things like that. You alluded earlier to some possible friction points in terms of ASEAN members coming to some kind of agreement mm-hmm. as to how to deal with Myanmar. What are some of these friction points?
Well, I think it is no secret that many of ASEAN's members are themselves either authoritarian regimes or outright dictatorships. I can count almost half the ASEAN's membership to be in such category, right? So, of course, they are not too keen on ASEAN acting as a whole to, in a sense, interfere with what's going on in Myanmar, lest it would somehow reflect upon them, or later on they could even be dealt with in a similar manner. So I think these ASEAN countries, without naming names, I think they will just like to see everybody else getting accustomed to what is going on in Myanmar, just like people have got accustomed to what's going on in their respective countries. Yeah.
So what are the repercussions for ASEAN if it chooses not to step up the pressure and just be, let it just be what it is now?
Well, the short to medium term repercussions would there would be, of course, a lot of these refugees or boat people or simply people leaving Myanmar to escape, for example, the repression by the junta, the impending civil war, as well as just in general economic hardships, right? You are talking about, I think you will see very soon boat people arriving at the shores of Thailand, of Malaysia, of Indonesia, and beyond. We are not just talking about the Rohingya people as before. We are talking about people from all stripes of the socioeconomic spectrums in Myanmar coming ashore. So in the long term, if you don't deal with this matter more forcefully, Myanmar itself could descend into civil wars because Myanmar has various different ethnic groups. They have people of different political persuasions and so on. And these civil wars would, of course, have even greater geopolitical repercussions to Southeast Asia. Yeah.
Now, looking beyond ASEAN, I mean, all eyes are also on the upcoming closed-door Security Council meeting, with pleas from Myanmar's ambassador to the UN to have strong, decisive and unified measures. Do you think there may be a positive outcome from this meeting?
I frankly don't pin a lot of hope on this meeting. Again, the UN Security Council, just like ASEAN in general, they are authoritarian regimes as well as dictatorships within the ranks of the Security Council, some permanent and others not so permanent. So I don't think there would be any resolute actions coming out of it beyond, again, just calling for the stop or cessation of violence. ASEAN should work not only with this Security Council of the United Nations, but with those nations which impose, for example, stricter measures on the junta.
So, Isan, if not ASEAN, then is there any other foreign power that can, I guess, influence Myanmar in a certain direction, right? Is there anyone that can step in here? Let's not talk about the feasibility of them actually stepping in, but who would Myanmar listen to, I guess, in this situation?
Well, Myanmar listens to no one because it has toughened itself. The junta has toughened itself over half a century of effectively international isolations. So it is up to those countries with significant, for example, military as well as economic exchanges and interactions with Myanmar to do something about it. For example, if we have arms sales to Myanmar which are ongoing, we have military exercises with Myanmar which are ongoing, those should be stopped. And then those countries with a lot of dealings with the economic dealings with the junta, they should also stop this sort of activities, such that the junta would, in a sense, feel more squeezed. And then there's one more thing that the international community and in particular ASEAN could do. You could, for example, suspend Myanmar's participation in ASEAN's activities, and you can even lend some form of recognition to now that the democratic opposition of Myanmar, they have a national government of unity, you should lend some sort of recognition to the government of national unity by the democratic opposition.
Yeah, very quickly, Aysan, Aung San Suu Kyi faces multiple charges. What outcomes are you expecting from the trials?
Well, these are basically kangaroo courts with show trials. I mean, it's internationally widely recognized as such. So the important thing is to, for example, call for Aung San Suu Kyi's as well as other leaders' early release. You can't do some sort of commando actions to rescue them, right? So eventually, I think they'll be put under some form of house arrest, and Myanmar's predicaments for the past decade would repeat again. So sometimes even African countries, there's a grouping, similar groupings to ASEAN in West Africa called ECOWAS. They act very resolutely. Any of their member states had a coup, they will actually send troops into that country, right, and restore the democratic government. Yeah.
Isan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Oh Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, giving us some insight into the situation in Myanmar, which has fallen out of the international news just a bit, but nevertheless has yet to be resolved. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.